Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 84, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
To everyone who is listening to this, basically, you know, if you're listening to this in 2018, then, you know, Happy New Year to you. But we're recording this and releasing this on New Year's Day, and so we're a little bit later than normal. You guys know how the holidays are. I mean, like, both you and I, girl, we were less like, okay, well, we can record on Friday. And then we're like, well, we'll record on Saturday. And then we're like, okay, well, we'll just sneak away during the party and record on Sunday
night.
Yeah,
that did not happen.
None of that happened. Big surprise, big shocker to us. But yes, 2017 was a crazy year for a lot of people, including us. But it was also a very good year for us. And we want to thank you guys for sticking with us and listening and subscribing and writing us letters all throughout the year of 2017.
Thank you.
And thank you. And let's hope that 2018 is better than 2017.
Absolutely.
So everyone, please go to thenerdparty.com for all of the ways that you can contact us. You can, if you want to write us an email of what you think of the show, or if you have any show suggestions or anything like that, you can go to thenerdparty.com/contact, select Nerd Nuptial from a drop-down menu, and fill out the form there. You can also find us on social media. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. You can go to thenerdparty.com and figure out all the ways to do that. And you can also find us, you can find me personally on Twitter at the Insane Robin. But if you like what we're doing, you like what you're listening to, and you like our topics and everything like that, please consider taking just a few moments and going to iTunes and writing us a review. If you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show. Well, girl, what are we going to be talking about today?
The best of 2017. Movies and a little bit of TV.
Yeah. Main focus is going to be on movies.
Right.
Because you and I, over the weekend, created our top 2017 list, just like everybody else's.
That's right.
And it's hard not to.
Yeah, why not?
You know, like, when you're moving on to the next year, you start thinking about what came before, and movies is a big part of our lives, about going and seeing them, reflecting on them, and obviously talking about them and podcasting about them.
Yeah, so we're excited to share our lists, and they're not always the same. So we're going to kind of compare what we felt were the best top 10.
I think what's interesting for us, though, because, like, okay, so fellow host on the network, Lee Hutchison, and also friend of ours and friend of the show, he lives in an area where you can get a cinema pass.
Yeah.
And you pay a monthly fee and go see as many movies as many times as you want.
Right. That's awesome. We really wish we had that.
And so he got to see 136 movies this year.
Oh my gosh.
136 movies.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's absolutely amazing. And I'm very jealous. And so he gets to see everything. Indie, foreign, blockbusters, everything. Everything. Mm-hmm. He gets to see it. And he probably has seen it all. You can't compare what we've seen in 2017.
Right.
To what he's seen in 2017. But you and I, we've seen everything together.
That's true. That's true.
Every 2017 movie that I've seen, you've seen, and vice versa. So when we compare our lists, it's actually.
That's true. We've seen the exact same things.
It's comparable.
So, you know, there's certain things that we haven't seen that we plan on seeing when they actually come out and were available to us, that we just didn't make it to the theater to see.
I'm not going to spend $40 on some indie film where it's just two people talking to each other.
Unless we had a cinema pass.
That's the thing. If I had a cinema pass like Lee, we would go to those things. But I'm not going to spend $40 a movie just to see some low-budget indie film. Even if I really want to see it, I'm going to wait for it on video. And so when you listen to our lists, you're probably going to hear that there's not too many low-budget indie or foreign films on it or anything like
right.
that.
Right. When we went to the theater, we usually choose ones that you need to see on the big screen.
Big fanfare spectacle.
Right. But we actually saw a lot of films for us.
For us.
This year.
With a baby.
Right.
First year baby.
For us, it was a lot. But for some people, no. It was very little.
as I started going through the list, and I started because I keep a Letterboxd account, and a Letterboxd is an app and a program where you can tabulate everything that you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And when you watch something, you can click it and say, I watched it. You can give it a 5-star rating. You can write it a review. You can say that you liked it or disliked it and everything like that. It's just a great record keeper of your media consumption. I just wish that they would transition into TV a little bit more so you could do that. But as I was going through it, you and I watched a lot of documentaries and a lot of comedy specials.
Yeah, we did.
We watched a lot of stand-up this year.
Yeah, we must have needed some humor in our lives.
And it was like when you go to our respective lists, which you can find on Letterboxd, it was interesting because I had to say, we only saw 22 new films in 2017, but we spent a lot of our time watching documentaries and comedy specials, which, you know, you don't want to hear us say like, oh yeah, Dave Chappelle's new special, that was number 5 on our list. Like, you don't want to hear that.
Yeah, but Netflix didn't make a lot, and HBO have a lot more stand-up on their services, so it's been kind of fun to watch.
It has been a lot of fun. It's really great being exposed to new things and new people and new frames of view. So how do you want to do this? Do you want to go 10 down to 1? Do you want
that's the way it should happen.
Okay, all right. Well, do you want me to go first? Do you want to go first?
You can go first.
Okay, I'll go first. So, okay. Number 10, which we just got done talking about it. Last week, we talked about
it. Oh, really?
Number 10 on my list is Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Oh, okay.
And this one is, I kind of battled with this one because I'll just to tell you real quick, like the one before it was Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, and that's my number 10.
That's your number 10.
Yeah,
okay.
Thor is my number 10.
Okay.
So we're not too off there.
That's
interesting.
That's around that same level of enjoyment. Like, I like Thor. I mean, obviously it's on my list. It just didn't make the top 10. And we'll post our list in full. Post link to our list on the show page. So if you just go to the nerdparty.com/nerdnuptial, you'll be able to find it there. And so you'll see our full list of all 22. With Last Jedi, like, everything that we needed to say was last week.
Right.
You know, like, over 2 weeks ago. So go, everyone, we do invite you to listen to last week's review because we were honest about it. Like, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great time, a great cinematic experience. I had so much wrong with it, and I just started screaming about it during the review. But at the same time, I need to recognize that when I left the theater, I left happy.
Yeah,
and I
absolutely.
Was, even though I started ranting about it on the show, I still had a good time. And that's a big importance to me when going to see a movie, specifically when I go to the cinema. Like, even if it's a horrible movie or if it's horribly made or if there's gigantic plot holes that you can throw a car through, if I enjoyed myself, that goes a long way.
You have to give it some credit. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's funny because when we were making our list, I kind of had to keep shuffling the deck a little bit because, you know, I think it's hard. Like, how do you come to your list? Do you decide what you'd watch again? You know, okay, I like this movie so much I'd watch it again. Do you decide this was the best made film? But it's my list, so it depends on how I'm feeling about the movie, right?
That's true. I think, yeah.
So, yeah. So you feel like that was your number 10.
That was my number 10. And it's interesting that you say that because I got to give fellow co-host Matt Rushing a little credit because I usually dog him a little bit when he rates his films because he said he'll give a rating on how he feels, not on how it's made. And I wouldn't insult him or anything like that, but we just kind of go back and forth, and I would always tell him, I was like, well, I try to involve how the movie is made in my star rating, and I think that's my separation, where I could have a low star rating movie, but it could be in my top 10 of the year
because you had so much fun watching.
Because I had fun watching.
Yeah, I get that.
Where I'll give a movie 3 stars, but it could be in my top 10, where a 4-star movie isn't.
Yeah, I get that.
You know,
I get that. Yeah. Well, Thor is my number 10.
So why did you put Thor as your number 10?
Because it was just so much fun to watch. Now, I remember we did a review on Thor. And there was a lot wrong with it, again, kind of like how you feel about The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
But it was just a fun ride, and we laughed a lot. And so I think that's why it made my top 10. And I think it's my favorite Thor, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure, hands down.
I need to watch the first one again.
And I think you inflate it in your mind of how good
it
was.
I might.
Yeah. I liked how it just Thor Ragnarok had a really cool villain, which I talked about.
Oh yeah,
in our review with Hela, and also just it didn't take itself too seriously as a Marvel movie, so I appreciated that.
Yeah, I think I'd love to watch the first one again and go back and once Thor Ragnarok comes out on video,
we'll do
I want to do a double bill, skipping the second one, of course. but I want to do a double bill because you actually saw my Marvel list.
Yes.
And I think I had like Thor, the first Thor as like the very third high. Or fourth one on the list.
Yeah, and I was like, really? And you're like,
come on, Tristan.
There was actually twice where we both like looked at each other and were like, really?
Like, is this really how you feel?
Yeah, is this how your list is going?
So, all right. Well, let's move on to number nine. Yeah. Number nine for me was Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Okay.
Now, I talked to a lot of people about this film, and I showed some people, specifically at the Nerd Party and some of our friends, my list and your list. I didn't show them your list because you told me not to.
I was still reworking.
But, everyone, a couple of people looked and said, like, really? Like, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is that high? I loved this movie.
Really?
I thought it was great.
It did not make my top 10.
Oh man, no, seriously. Like when I stopped watching it, I was grinning ear to ear and I was like, man, that was good. Like I acted like a kid.
Well, what did you like about it?
It tapped my funny bone.
Okay.
Like it was a wild ride. It was adventurous. We got to explore a little bit more about the Peter Quill backstory. I'm glad that they didn't draw out the who is my father, who am I in the universe thing for like another movie or a couple of movies. Like we asked the question in one, we answered it in two. Okay. I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
I thought everybody, there was no wasted space. I thought every character had something to do, even though they added new characters.
Okay.
It was still fun to see them interact with each other. And it just, I was laughing out loud pretty hard at this film, and I didn't think I was going to be able to do that.
Okay. Well, my number nine is Baby Driver, and I'm sure it did not make your top 10.
I don't know if I want to tell it. No, it didn't make it. It was number 13 for me. That was number 13. So that's not too far.
Okay. Funny enough, like Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was my number 12. So, all right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Baby Driver, I don't think you liked it as much as I did.
No. Well, obviously.
Right. When we, that's right. But even when we did a review of it, I just thought it was fun. I liked the characters. I thought that it was just like a fun movie that had a unique style to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's why I made my list, because I want to see it again. So, okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I asked you if you wanted me to pick it up for you. But I guess that could be an HBO.
That could be an HBO.
That movie feels like it's going to be on HBO.
I mean,
HBO.
It's not like in my top five here. It's number nine.
Okay.
So,
all right.
But I thought it was a lot of fun.
All right. We might need to pick it up because we're already at like the 12-minute mark and we only have two down. All right. So number eight for me.
Uh-huh.
This one, I showed this list to my sister, and my sister felt like, I feel like my sister was offended that this was my number eight and that it wasn't higher on the list.
Mm-hmm.
That's always, you know, side note, that is always something that happens, is you make a top 10 list and clearly you liked the film. It's in your top 10. And people come to you and go like, really? This movie that I love and adore is only on number eight?
Of yours, like,
my list is not your list. Get your own damn list.
No, but people identify so much with movies that it becomes personal.
It's true.
So when you find a movie that you love and then someone says, it's not that great on my list, then you take offense to it.
I just love it because it's we argue to the degrees of how much we love it.
Yeah,
it's not
true.
Even love or like or dislike.
Nope.
It's nope.
It's degrees.
It's degrees of love
right.
or dislike.
It's true.
It's insane.
So
oh, I didn't even say what it was.
Yeah,
it's a Wonder Woman.
Wonder
yeah.
Woman. Yeah.
Number eight is Wonder Woman.
Right.
Which, you know, this film, we watched it again, like we bought it and we watched it again. And
don't want to talk too much because it may have been higher on my list.
Okay, excuse me. Okay, I'll just give a quick thing here. With it, it's just like, even though both you and I had huge problems with the third act, huge problems, like really like that almost hurt the film, you know, beyond repair for me with the third act. But watching it again a second time, I was able to forgive it a little bit more. It didn't disappoint me as much, but the act one and act two was just such a wild ride and so great. You know, it I was able to forgive Act 3 a little bit more, so that's why it's higher on my list.
Okay. All right, so my number 8 is, I might get a little hate for it, because I think that people think I should like it more than I do because of how well it was made. So I think I'm going, I'm going with how I felt when I watched it and how our reactions when we came out of the theater. So my number 8 is Dunkirk, because I recognize that it's a very well-made film.
Yes.
And it has a great emotional impact, but it just didn't grab me. So like we said, degrees of love, well, it's my number 8. Because I just wasn't, you know, out of all of Nolan's movies, it wasn't my favorite. It didn't grab me the way I wanted it to.
We were talking to your parents about it because we got it on home video. It just came out on home video. Mm-hmm. And your parents and my parents actually share an account with us, so they're able to watch our movies.
Mm-hmm.
And they checked it out. And your mom had a very good point where she said, she's like, I did not connect with any of the characters.
Yeah.
And
it's a little hard.
It's great spectacle. Like you said, it's well made.
So
it's
well made.
Great spectacle. And it's well organized and it's a good story, true story. But if you are not emotionally connected with specific characters, it can just sometimes feel like you're just running through the motions.
Right.
Now, it is much higher on my list.
Much higher. And this is one that I was like, really, Tristan?
You came to me and you're just like, you're lying to yourself.
You didn't enjoy it as much as you think. That's what I said to you.
We haven't watched it a second time yet. Though we bought it, need to, because this list might change because it's quite high on my list.
That's true.
But the thing is, I think the reason why is I went back to my Letterboxd account, and right when I left the theater, I gave it a rating. I gave it 4.5 stars.
Yeah, but why did you give it 4.5 stars? Because of the way it was made or the way it made you feel?
It's possible. I need to start writing reviews for everything I see. Just even quick synopsis.
Right.
Not synopsis,
like how you feel versus... But this was really well made.
You know what? That's going to be one of my nerdy 2018 resolutions.
I like that.
Is I'm going to go, whenever we watch something, I'm going to go on Letterboxd and write like a 4-sentence review of each movie
that
I see.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
All right. Well, speaking of watching something again and kind of, you know, playing with the idea of it maybe being higher on your list, my number 7 is War for Planet of the Apes.
That's my number 7 too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So let's talk about that.
All right. Oh, okay. So, well, the reason why it's number 7 for mine is actually I had a lot lower on my list before.
Mm-hmm, you did.
And then we actually just rewatched it like
last night.
Last night, yeah. And I was like, okay, I do feel like, and I think because it is the third in this beautiful trilogy of War of, Rise, Dawn, War, I think that, and because I connect so much to the character of Caesar, I think I have to give it that, and you care about the climax, the ending of the story. But out of all three, it's my least favorite.
Yes, mine too.
Okay. Why did you put it as number 7?
Number 7 is, I think it's I remember coming out of the theater and I clearly liked it more than you.
Yes.
I was like, it wasn't the movie I was expecting, but it was a nice wrap up. Like it ended
well.
Well, and that goes a long way with me.
It was kind of false advertising though, because I remember walking out, I felt like, well, I was expecting to see war.
A war film
with apes. I was like, I want to see him on horseback, you know, fighting.
You want to see Caesar as a strategist.
Whereas we got the Exodus storyline.
We got the Great Escape.
Right.
We got the Great Escape movie mixed with Exodus.
Exactly. And, you know, just seeing the apes in this, you know, concentration camp type environment, it was just like, you have to be in the mood, not the mood, but you have to be in the mindset to watch a film like that. Mm-hmm. So I've actually been putting off rewatching this movie because I was like, I don't want to see them suffer. Yeah. I don't want to see the apes suffer. But it is a good film.
Watching it a second, like, I feel like that's why I'm really interested to see The Last Jedi for a second time.
Okay.
Because once, if you have such high hopes for a movie, and this happens a lot, especially in nerddom, if you have high hopes for a movie, you watch it and you're disappointed because it didn't meet your expectations, mm-hmm. and you watch it a second time, your expectations have already been leveled.
Right.
So you can truly appreciate the film for what it is. And that, I think that's what happened with War for the Planet of the Apes, is that we both had high expectations. Mine were little bit more temper than yours, mm-hmm. but when we watched it a second time, we both had the same experience.
Absolutely.
That's probably why it's the same on our list.
I guess so. Speaking of rewatching, so The Last Jedi was your number 10. It's actually my number 6. So,
oh, number 6. So yeah, it's higher it is. On your list.
It's higher on my list. I think it's because I had a really good time watching it, and even though I recognize there's a lot wrong with it, again, I think I'm going based on my feelings of like wanting to rewatch it. You know, ignore the casino storyline and all that crap, but I did enjoy watching it.
There has been such a backlash to the backlash of The Last Jedi. Like a lot of people had the same comments that you and I did about the casino storyline. Mm-hmm. And now there's this huge wave online of people trying to defend the casino storyline, saying,
gosh,
it's character building, it's world building. Like, you guys just don't understand it. Like, I was just, every single defense I've seen, like, actually, there's been some defenses of it where it's like, oh, I can see it from that angle. You're wrong, but I can see it from that angle.
Sure, that goes over really well.
Oh, no. Oh, I do not engage these people. I do not say one word to these people. If you liked it, if you liked the casino storyline and you thought it was great character building, more power to you.
Yeah, that means you just liked it more.
Great.
That's awesome.
Go for it. But don't bash on me because I think it's poor storytelling. So that was your number 6.
Yes.
So my number 6 is Big Sick.
Oh, that is actually my number 5.
Okay. Yeah, Big Sick is with the stand-up Kumail Ninjaya. I'm going to butcher it, and
yep.
I'm so sorry to anyone who actually has that last name. I call him Kumail, even though we're not really on a first name basis. He's been a stand-up for a couple of years, more than a couple of years, and he was probably most widely known for being in HBO Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Pakistan, and he is crazy funny. He's very talented, very funny. And Big Sick is a movie that's semi-autobiographical about how he met his wife.
Yeah,
and his now wife. I mean, I guess spoilers, whatever. He in that movie, like, he starts dating someone, and then she goes into a medically induced coma, and he has
in Chicago. Also kind of relates a little bit to,
and he meets his, like, he has an experience with her parents, and that's kind of the main focus of the movie, is him getting to know her parents while she's in a coma. And it's very funny. It's very low budget.
Yes.
It's very well made and very well written.
Yeah. I loved it too. And that's why it's my number 5. I think it was just surprising how much I liked it. And unfortunately, we spent a lot of time in hospitals this year, so I think it kind of struck a chord with us a little bit too, just like the conversations you have in a hospital, even in, you know, that kind of like, mindset of, you know,
should we move,
you
know, like, are we in the best place, like,
right,
where do we get some food,
right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just a survival mode. Yeah, but I loved it. I loved it. And I think they have a podcast together, right?
They do have a podcast together. I've listened to a couple episodes. It's very it's very cool. They have their own Nerd Nuptial.
Yes.
And it's all, if you guys have Amazon Prime, you can watch it for free. It's there, it's out, and it's very much worth your time.
I loved it.
It was way funnier than I thought it was gonna be.
Me too.
It's laugh out loud funny.
Yeah.
All right, well, since that's your number 5 and that's my number 6, I'm gonna give my number 5. The thing about my number 5 is that I had no idea that I was going to like it as much as I did. Kind of like Big Sick, where I had a lot of people tell me, it's not that great, whatever, it's just middle of the road, whatever. And so I put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off. And it almost didn't make the 2017 watch. And that's Spider-Man Homecoming. This movie was great.
Yeah, it was. That's my number 4.
That's your number 4.
That's my number 4.
Like, you and I, when we watched it, as I was watching it, like, even right off the bat, like, the first 15 minutes, I was like, holy crap, this is good.
Yeah, I loved him as Spider-Man. Tom?
Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's right. Tom Holland.
I always get those names confused with Tom Hiddleston. I'm like, that's not Loki.
That's not the same person. And I love the direction that they went, since they did go younger. The things that they included about Peter Parker and the things they excluded. Now, I'm sure, like, some comic book fans were not happy with those changes, But I just loved some of the changes they did make. For example, having him be a part of like a tech school.
Yes.
So he actually understood how like a suit worked.
And it would make sense that he would have access to certain pieces of equipment.
Right, exactly. And I think we'd been burned so many times by other Spider-Man films, like the Tobey Maguire's.
We had five previous Spider-Man films. Oh my gosh,
like they keep redoing it. But, you know, I really feel like they've found their stride with this one. It's good.
And also seeing Tom Holland in high school is a lot easier to swallow than seeing Andrew Garfield with a backpack walking around high school.
Right.
Or Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire wasn't even close to that age.
He looked like a teacher's aide.
Right, right. Exactly. It, you know, and I just think that it was the things that they included and in, like, it made sense. And I just loved his like friend Ned. And I think they did a really good job of making it a storyline that I cared about, and I really cared about the kid with the character building.
And I think the one of the main reasons, because this came out the same year as Thor Ragnarok, and a lot of people are comparing the two. Actually, man, this has been a year for comedy for Marvel,
because
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was action comedy. Thor Ragnarok was a straight-up comedy. And Spider-Man was, I'd say it was more of an adventure film with a comedic slant.
Right.
And so that's kind of interesting, the year that Marvel had in 2017. But the reason why Spider-Man is higher than Guardians of the Galaxy or Thor Ragnarok is because, like I said, it's an adventure film. It's comedic, but it does not go as crazy as Thor Ragnarok.
Right.
It has a better structure than Guardians of the Galaxy 2. It has way less characters, so you can focus on the individual. But like I said, it didn't go as crazy as Ragnarok, or just ramped up as Ragnarok.
Yeah, and I think that Marvel made really smart choices with not going to that. You know, we've already seen Spider-Man in Civil War, so to show him his whole backstory again, we don't need that.
No.
You know, this was cool seeing him like trying to get into the Avengers. And we didn't need to do the Uncle Ben storyline, which we've seen 100 times.
So thankful they didn't do that.
We get it. You know, he's your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And like seeing him in that way was much better than, oh, you know, we have to deal with the emotional impact of Uncle Ben dying and everything like that.
Now, I have heard that a couple of times from a couple different people saying that, like, by not including the Uncle Ben storyline, not even showing Uncle Ben, but not including the Uncle Ben storyline, it kind of strips it of its emotional weight. While I respect that, I was very thankful that we didn't get it, because sometimes you just need a good adventure film.
Just move on.
You just need Spider-Man being Spider-Man and having fun, or struggling to become himself, not just struggling with the death of a family member.
Right.
It's just, I don't always want to see my superheroes want to slit their wrists because the weight of the world's on their shoulder.
Right. You don't need to have those DC problems all the time.
Oh, DCEU. Well, no, DC problems. Right, not just honest, DCEU. Yeah. Let's be honest with ourselves.
No, it was just a fun... It was a fun superhero film.
Like, for example, like they had a big fight scene, and I wouldn't say it was dramatic, but it was.
You don't know
which one I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
But they had a fight scene where it was between him and Shocker, and Shocker threw him up again, like really hard, and you're just like, oh crap, it's on homecoming night, and you know, like Spidey's gonna get hurt, and he threw him up against a bus, and he falls into the bus, and he slides, and he's face up underneath a chair, and he sees all the gum on the chair, and
oh,
he goes,
yeah,
ew, gross. And then he gets ripped out immediately. So
right.
You're able to laugh while still be riveted at the same
time. And that was very much so epitomized, that type of film. It was just fun to see, versus like, I don't need to deal with all of, you know, really the only thing he had wrong in his life was, you know, he was just trying to do that internship for Tony Stark, and you know, his girlfriend's parents turned out to be something not, you know.
But like he kept canceling on his girlfriends, he kept canceling on his friends.
But it wasn't,
but that's the character. That's
exactly,
Peter Parker.
Exactly. And it wasn't like these earth-shattering revelations here. Right. Yeah.
Well, although there was one very strong emotional moment that I really appreciated. Actually, no, I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
It's just like there's one moment where you feel for Peter, not Spider-Man, Peter, where he is just, he's freaking out. and you're just like, oh crap, we're seeing Spider-Man freak out. Like, this is weird. This, you know, like you're emotionally attached to this Spider-Man. Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, I can't speak higher of it. We liked it a lot. Loved it. Yeah. Easily my favorite Spider-Man film.
Oh yeah, me too. My number three.
Wait,
I'm sorry. That was my number four. What's your number four?
Oh, my number four. I was going to say, don't skip me here. I did talk a lot. I won't talk as much about this one because this one is number four, which is very high on my list, but there's not a lot for me to say other than this is just a good movie. And that's a Logan Lucky.
Oh, okay.
Steven Soderbergh, Daniel Craig, Adam Driver, and what's his name? The guy who strips. I'm totally blanking on his name. I feel so bad.
The guy who strips.
Yeah, he was in...
he strips? What?
XXL, like Mike, Magic Mike. What's his name? Oh, man. I'm blanking so hard on this one. I cannot remember his name whatsoever, but he's going to be the new Gambit. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, I've started to like him more and more. But
what's his name?
I don't know his name. I'm blanking on it. But it's anyway, while you look up his name, I'm gonna keep talking about it. But yeah, Logan Lucky, smaller film by Soderbergh, didn't get that much press, didn't get that much ink. But it's a heist film, and it's
Channing Tatum.
Jeez. That was nowhere near the
honestly,
tip of my
I
tongue.
Honestly, I just didn't hear anything past you saying that he strips. And then I was like, what are you talking about?
He used to be a stripper. Before he became an actor, he was a stripper.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I am not a Channing Tatum fan. But he was really good in this.
But I am becoming a Channing Tatum fan. Because he first came on the scene, I saw him and I was just like, oh.
He's just man candy.
He's just man candy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's probably dumb. You know, like, he looks like... stereotypically dumb, and that's wrong
that's
on my
really
part
mean.
I know it's really mean, but it's wrong on my part because I was judging him by his looks and his appearance and everything like that, because he's just like bulked up and everything like that. But as I started watching more of his movies, I was like, oh holy crap, this guy actually can act and play different characters. And so Channing, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I misjudged you. But Logan Lucky is like it's a heist film where they're stealing from NASCAR. They're trying to steal money. It's a prison break. It's just
a heist movie.
It's just fun. Nobody dies.
It's fun.
You know, like nobody's, you know, like no one's going through
an
illness. It's just good.
Yeah.
It's just a good time. Yeah. Good cinema. And I know I'm not really giving it a good reason why it's not my number four, but it's just so well made. And it's just a solid film. And I was just like, I enjoy this one.
Okay.
All right, so that was my number four. So what's your number four? Oh, wait.
I already did number four. So now we're on to number three.
Okay. Wait, what was your number five?
My number five was The Big Sick.
Okay.
But we kind of shuffled around there because we had very similar ones there.
So we're now on number three. Okay.
Yes.
What's your number
three? My number three is Wonder Woman.
Way higher on.
Way higher. And I think the main reason is because it was... a DC film that I could get behind, DCEU film that I could get behind, that kind of redeemed itself a little bit. You know, they kind of shattered that with Justice League. But, you know, I just loved all the Amazonian women and the female power film that it was. And it was so needed to be good. And like you said, there's a lot of issues with the third act. And I have the same issues you do. But I really enjoyed the film. So it made my top three.
I think that definitely makes sense because from a cultural standpoint, I think Wonder Woman achieved greatness culturally.
Yes.
More so than cinematically.
Yes, I think so too.
And I'm not saying that as a knock.
Right.
I'm not saying that as a knock at all.
But it did kind of, it brought back that female superhero again that we needed.
Desperately. That hopefully ushered in a new wave.
I hope so.
That we'll see more and more.
Yeah.
All right. So my number three is, this was one of those, this is the movie that you were talking about earlier where you're just like, oh, sweetie, you're lying to yourself. This is the film.
This is the one I have a problem with your list. This is my problem with your list. Yeah.
Number three is Dunkirk.
Yeah.
I need to watch it again.
I don't agree with you.
I need to watch it again.
I think you're lying.
I might be.
I really think you're lying.
I don't even know if I am. That's how in the weeds I am right now. I'm so in the weeds with number
three.
So
it goes to your number three, even though you're in the weeds about it?
Yeah. I don't. It's just...
Is it because of how well made it was?
I have such a blind...
The filmmaker in you needs to...
Yes. Okay. I have such a blind spot for Nolan.
Okay.
And also, like, here's the thing. One thing that happens a lot with the Oscars is, like, something that wasn't that great of a movie can get an Oscar if it pushes the boundaries technically with the science. Because that's the thing. It's the Academy of Arts and Sciences. Now, not a lot of people know that. They just see it as, oh, if it's artistic, it'll probably get an
Oscar. Right, the best movie.
But, so, like, when you see something like Avatar, you're just like, oh, well, you know, like, that's not that great of a story. It's not good acting at all. But you could see it as Oscar-worthy because of the technical advancements. Now, with Dunkirk, how it was filmed, how they cut it together, how it was filmed entirely on IMAX, and the quality of it, and just the music integrated with the editing, it was a technical masterpiece. Mm-hmm. And even if I walked away from it thinking, like, did I enjoy it? Did I not? I knew I was watching something artistic. I was watching an art film that was vastly more technical than any other art film that I've ever seen.
Okay.
And so my brain had a hard time processing it because I haven't seen genuine art in the theater in a long time.
I get that.
And that's why it's on number three. Is it number three of my enjoyment? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But is it number three of, I think, some of the best stuff that's been made this year? Absolutely.
Okay.
So that's where I need to
get that.
That's where I need to kind of go back and forth with it. Like, does it belong in number three on my personal enjoyment list? Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Does it belong in number three or higher as in best made? Definitely.
Okay. I get that.
That's where I'm coming from.
All right. I think our number one and two are the same.
Probably. Because we haven't talked about them yet.
Exactly.
And I know that we love them dearly.
All right. What's your number two? Ready? One, two, three.
Logan. Logan, what can you say?
It's just so good.
It is Marvel's
best.
Dark Knight.
Yes. Yes.
It is not Marvel's Dark Knight. It wasn't even made by Marvel.
Nope.
You know?
Exactly. Like, that's true. Yeah.
It was seriously like we reviewed it, so you guys should definitely check it out. You should go to the nerdparty.com/nerdnuptial, search for our Logan review, and you'll find it, because this was one of the first films we saw in 2017. We saw it right away in March. I think the one we saw before that was the Lego Batman movie. That was the first movie we saw in 2017.
That's right, it was.
Was a Logan Batman film.
The Logan Batman film? I want to see that.
What would that be like? Oh, man. I totally want that as a crossover. Lego Batman film. Anyway, yeah, Logan was... It just fired on all cylinders. It just hit so many points. Like, once they got to Eden, the movie stopped dead.
Yeah, it did.
Rhythmically. But other than that...
Yeah.
I don't really have too many complaints.
No, and it was just so refreshing to see a rated R superhero film, and it was very honest that it was that.
And it wasn't gratuitous.
No, it wasn't. I mean, like, it was extremely violent. Don't get me wrong. But even just the idea of, like, you know, seeing him older and you know, it wasn't a happy story necessarily at all, but it did have hope, and it was the superhero film that we wanted to see. And it definitely hit all of our targets for, it kind of felt like a DC film, like a Nolan film that we would want to see.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
This is a movie, and this was a story that deserved the emotional weight that it gave us.
Yeah, it did.
Like, this is not one of those movies where you're just like, I just want to see an adventure.
No. Yeah, you felt a lot for them.
I mentioned it during our review, but that moment, I think and it still hit me the most, like, the moment that I'm about to mention and the moment at the very end. And if you've seen it, you know exactly what moment we're talking about, that final shot.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment where the craziness happens in Vegas and they're wheeling Professor X through everybody kind of like regaining consciousness and him saying, I'm sorry.
Right.
You're just like, oh my god, my heart.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing, is that so many times you just grab your heart going, oh my god, I'm connecting with this.
Exactly. And I think even just seeing, like, you know, things didn't pan out necessarily the way that you'd want your superheroes to end up. Mm-hmm. You know, you just kind of imagine like, oh, they're fine, they're good. No, like things went very south for them.
Yeah, if we didn't see them, the world turned against them.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah.
Good film.
Okay.
All right. So, all right, well, what's your number one?
I wonder if the fans will know what could possibly be.
So say it at the same time.
All right. Ready?
Blade Runner 2049. We watched this again just a couple nights ago.
We did. And it was funny because after we got done watching it, you looked at me and you're like, how do you feel about it now? And I said, the same.
Because after we left, it was funny because after we left the theater, mm-hmm. both of you and I were just like, we liked it. But did we like it a lot? Did we love it? Mm-hmm. Like, we were a little confused. We're like, it's a good movie. It's well made. It was long.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Beautiful. Deakins deserves the Oscar. Seriously. If anybody else gets the Oscars, they stole it from him.
Right.
For cinematography. But as the weeks started going on, even the days started going on, we kept talking about it. We kept referencing it.
Did.
And we kept thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's true. How we knew that we liked it more than we thought we did.
It's true. And I, you know, I think that a lot of our favorite films, you have to see more than once. Mm-hmm. And I definitely feel like this is one of them. But I just love how they captured the style of Blade Runner and just...
But gave us something new at the same time.
Something new, yeah. And also new characters that I cared about, which is not always easy to do in the same universe. You know, I mean, look at the Star Wars, you know, universe. Like... I'm sorry, but I care more about the original people than the new ones. I just do. Maybe other people don't feel that way. But like, yeah, I felt just as emotional for the character of Kay than I did for Deckard.
I felt more
more so, right?
I was more invested in Agent K.
Yeah.
Than Agent K, that's Men in Black.
Yeah.
Detective K.
Right.
I was more invested in Detective K than I was Deckard. Mm-hmm. And like when Deckard came on the scene, I was just like, oh, it's cool to see him.
Right.
But I still was more invested in Ryan Gosling's character. With The Force Awakens and Last Jedi, you show me Leia, you show me Luke, I'm all in.
Right.
You show me Poe.
Don't really care.
Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I felt too. And, you know, just exploring this universe more and just how beautiful they made it and yet futuristic, like this, you know. And
futuristic analog.
Yeah, you know, keeping that analog feel because that was what we got from Blade Runner.
Seeing Atari, seeing
Pan
Am.
Yes, exactly. I just loved it. And I think it is beautiful and something that I'll watch over and over again. So I think it deserves, like, the praise that, like, cinematically. Mm-hmm. That it should get, and also personally, I loved it.
I think that's true. Like, on a technical level,
yes,
this was a very well executed film and deserves all the technical awards,
right?
All of them, editing, composition,
yeah,
cinematography,
yeah,
everything like that. Artistically, acting wise, I think the acting was great. It's not going to get nominated for any of those,
right?
Direction, I think. I think Denis Villeneuve should. Be nominated. I don't think he'll win, but I think he should get nominated at least for best direction.
I really like him a lot.
He's great. We need to go back and watch. Like, that needs to be our mission. We need to go back and watch his stuff. 2018, we're going to finish his stuff.
Yep.
Well, there you go. That's our list.
Yeah.
So everyone, if you want to hear anything above 10, like 10 to 22,
right, see.
Go to thenerdparty.com/nerdnuptial and we'll have links to our Letterboxd account so you can check it out. Give us a follow there because we might actually... we might actually continue to make lists. It's the Insane Robins account, but you might see more and more lists from
maybe
me and the girl.
We'll
maybe
see.
You'll make your own. I'd love you to do that.
We wanted to mention just briefly, like, some television.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you forgot. So, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. So like, what do we want to talk about? We want to talk about, like, our favorite,
favorite new show of 2017, our favorite returning show of 2017, and our biggest disappointment.
Okay.
So my favorite new show.
I bet it's going to be the same.
It probably is going to be the same. My favorite new show of 2017 is Mindhunter.
Mine too.
Hands down. Hands down. It was absolutely fantastic.
It was so well done. And we've already watched it twice, right?
We have watched it twice already.
Yeah, we have.
Through. I forgot
and
about that.
I think that it's just so well made. It was interesting because Fincher said that he looked at seven and he like took away all the things, right? That
he looked at seven and Zodiac.
That's right. And he like included all the good things of those and included them in Mindhunter, took away all the things that didn't work. And that is absolutely accurate.
Absolutely. 100%.
And I mean,
accurate. Come
on, it's Fincher. So of course we're going
to
love it.
It's hard not to. And I hate to sound like one of those people that just like is a sycophant, you know, like it's just like follows him.
We are though.
It's hard. It's hard. So I think, okay, so we wanted to say Westworld, but that came out in 2016.
Yeah, that's right.
And, but yeah, Mindhunter.
No, Mindhunter, hands down.
So best returning show for me would probably be Stranger Things season 2.
Okay.
I know we had a lot of things to say about what was wrong with it. We thought there was a big waste of episodes from episode 2 to 5. Which is a big chunk when you have such a short series.
Okay.
And it was not as good as season 1. Season 1, I think, is a stellar
there's a lot of
season
episodes there. I feel like they floundered a little bit.
Wasted time. Mm-hmm. But once we got to episode 5.
That was good.
It was amazing all the way through. Completely solid. And so I think for those episodes towards the end of the season, makes up for the beginning. Because the more I think about it, the more I enjoyed it.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that's my favorite returning show. How about you?
I'm tempted to say that too, but I'm going to choose something different.
Okay.
I'm going to say Master of None.
Oh, I was hoping you would.
Season 2.
I was hoping you'd choose this because I wanted to talk about it.
You know, we did not give Master of None a chance when it first came on the scene. And then we watched it this year because we saw that season 2 came out. We're like, let's give it another shot.
So we watched season 1 and 2.
1 and 2. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad we did because this is a show that sticks with you and I think about it a lot.
It's unique.
It is.
It's unique.
It really is. It's funny sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's also like has a lot of episodes that kind of stand alone in its style, which is unique for a show. And I really enjoyed season 2. I really did. I loved it.
It's very rare that you find something that is truly different.
It
truly
is. It different. Is different. Mm-hmm.
And like in the same way, like if you look at the show like Legion, that is a very different show.
Yes.
Stylistically. But I don't think very good, in my opinion. I did not enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure other people did. But with Master of None, you have that same kind of uniqueness, but not necessarily stylistically, but just with structure.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. I just feel I can't wait till another season comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm an Aziz fan from the Parks and Rec, but that doesn't really count. Like, I'm not a huge fan of his stand-up or anything like that. But
I'm a bigger fan of his stand-up than you are.
Right. But I just absolutely love what he's done with the show because it's his baby.
That's, you know? Yes. Master of None is his baby.
Yeah.
Like, he has a lot of collaborators, and we're not trying to take away
from
that.
No, no, no.
But this is his baby.
Right. And I love what he's done with it.
Can't wait for season 3, but we might have to wait a while.
I know.
So, biggest disappointment. we're probably going to say the same thing.
We probably are.
Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, okay.
Oh no? Okay. Okay, for me, I'll just talk about
that.
Biggest disappointment for me was Handmaid's Tale.
Okay.
This show...
The anticipation of... Yeah.
I didn't even have that much anticipation.
Okay.
This show was so subpar. And you're not supposed to say it. I think that's the thing, is that you're not allowed to say anything negative about Handmaid's Tale. It's one of those shows where so many people loved it. Everybody was raving about it. It kind of snagged our zeitgeist a little bit, like the red outfits and the hats and everything like that. Like, it came out at just the right time.
Right.
Like, if this came out a year earlier or a year later...
It probably wouldn't have made the impact.
It, for very obvious reasons.
Right.
But to me, it was so boring. It was so long. It was like, there were times that emotionally impacted me where I was just like, oh man, this hurts my heart. This is crazy what's going on. I'm not trying to diminish the message. It's just the presentation. It needed to be so much better.
I wanted it to be better too, but I do think that I enjoyed it more than you.
Probably.
Because I kept like wanting to watch another episode. I think you would have stopped earlier.
Probably, yeah.
Whereas I was like, no, we should keep going. So, yes, I agree with you. I think there was a lot wrong with it. And I think that it probably got the Emmy because of it, you know? Like, because it was pushing that...
Oh, Golden Globes. I don't think the Emmys are out
yet. Sorry. Yeah. Golden Globes. It probably got it because of where we're at.
Definitely.
But I'm going to say my biggest disappointment was something that kind of made me excited and failed me. And I know that it probably came out in other countries earlier in 2016, but it came out for us in January 2017, and that's The Young Pope.
Oh, it hurts.
So the reason why it's my biggest disappointment is because it totally engaged me in the first few episodes, and then it totally let me down, and it was so incredibly boring.
I get that.
And did not, like, really keep with the coolness of Jude Law's character. So, like, you know, we kind of felt like we had this really awesome character that, you know, is pushing the boundaries of the Catholic Church and everything like that, and then we just kind of become this boring story where they don't really give us very much payoff.
Yeah, it, like, it languished its time, mm-hmm. and it kind of just reveled in its own obscurity and
yes,
style.
Yes.
And so, okay, I get where you're coming from.
I know you love it, though.
No. That's the thing. No, I agree with everything that you're saying, because it's accurate, because it started off so strong.
Well, I was in labor, and I was like, oh, we're not going to watch The Young Pope because I was in labor.
Right.
So, like, at that point, it was still good. But then it was like, no.
And that's the thing. So
not worth it.
I could probably put this down at... I was going to give this as an honorable mention.
Okay.
But I probably could put this down as my biggest disappointment, because with Handmaid's Tale, I never really got on board. I was just like, this is not a good show.
But that's why I feel like with Young Pope, I got on board and then it failed me.
Yeah, I think that's a very solid argument to be made. That it is the biggest disappointment, because this is a show where I try to lie to myself and say, no, you love it. It's the best. like,
you know what? I have another one that I think you feel is a bigger disappointment than Handmaid's Tale. I know the listeners are probably like screaming it right now and saying, Tristan, how are you not mentioning Twin Peaks? Come on.
I think the reason.
Come on.
The reason why.
What?
The reason why I'm not mentioning this is because I knew this thing was going to be shit.
What? Are you kidding?
No, I knew.
What?
I knew Twin Peaks The Return was going to be disastrous.
But as much of a disaster as you felt it was?
No. No, you're
there
right.
There you go. Come on. You were like, the words you used to describe Twin Peaks, my lord.
John Mills, friend and co-host on the network. He, after he listened to that episode, he talked about it online, and he said, he's like, yeah, this is the show that broke the insane Robin.
It's so accurate. You could not handle it.
No, Twin Peaks The Return.
It made you angry.
It almost broke me in two.
Yeah.
Like, I was almost a broken man.
Come on. Like, whereas Handmaid's Tale did not do that to you. You were just kind of, like, bored.
No, I was just bored. I was like, that's a
whereas
bad show.
Whereas Twin Peaks, you were, like, ready to throw something.
That's true. I was screaming on the podcast. I was yelling. I think that's the thing, is that, like, maybe my mind blocked it, where, like, Twin Peaks
have.
Made me so angry that it didn't even register.
Yeah, I think
Do
so.
Do you have any honorable mentions or, like, shows that you liked? Or?
I enjoyed Big Little Lies,
yeah.
But, you know, it didn't do anything crazy. I enjoyed it. Like, I understand. Like, it was cool to see all those actresses together. It was fun in, you know, in a thriller way,
mm-hmm.
but it was just okay.
I think one disappointment for me would be The Orville.
Okay.
Like, I really wanted that to be better, and it started off as a crap show, but I watched all the episodes.
Okay.
I did. I watched all the episodes.
Good for you.
Because
I did not.
it kept winning a new episode. Like, I got to episode 3, and then I got to 4. Like, episode 3 earned 4, and then 4 earned 5,
mm-hmm.
and then it started meandering a little bit again. But the thing is that it went from a crap show to a mediocre show.
Okay.
Like, it's still not a good show, in my opinion.
Okay.
I know that a lot of people like it. But that was a big disappointment for me, because I thought it was going to be great.
Well, I hoped that Star Trek would have gotten me on board with Star Trek, and it didn't do that at all.
I could probably put that as one of my most disappointing. Like, mm-hmm. But
not Twin Peaks level.
Not Twin Peaks level. Not even close. Like, that was a show that started out mediocre and continued to be mediocre, and then continued to be mediocre, and then the last episode...
It was good.
Was amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
It was balls to the wall.
So hopefully
fantastic.
It continues.
Let's hope chapter 2 of season one is in the vein of that last episode. That's why it's not on this list.
Okay.
Although, an honorable mention of favorite returning show would be Rick and Morty season 3. That was a good season. That was
Pickle Rick!
Pickle Rick!
Yeah, that was
That
fun.
Was a fun season.
That was fun.
Yeah, fun cartoon. Good stuff. We should probably wrap this up. We're going a while. So everyone, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks for journeying with us throughout 2017. We hope you stick with us in 2018. And share some of your lists with us. We want
to
hear.
Yeah, we'd love to.
Did some of our stuff make your top 5, top 10? Did some of our TV shows make it? What did you think of what we had to say? Were we absolutely crazy for putting Wonder Woman at 8 or 3 or wherever? You know, just let us know by going to thenerdparty.com.
I love you.
I know.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.